Good morning, everyone. Well, it's just a quarter after 10. If I went to noon, why, we could do an hour and 45 minutes. Don called me this morning, told me he was running late. I thought I was going to be here an hour early, and I looked at my phone, and it changed time, but I forgot to do it at the house. So I thought it was 7:30, and it was 8:30. So we're going to start a series in 1 John. We've been talking about the love of God. John's called the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. It's been refuted that he had the closest personal relationship. And John has a lot to say about love, and some of it's kind of surprising for some of us. So next couple weeks, we're going to be in 1 John. We're going to be talking about love. This morning, I want to talk about the word of life. The text will be 1 John, first chapter, verses 1 through 10. John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Father, I thank You for Your word. I believe that Your word is truth. I pray that You will take this truth to our hearts today. Encourage us, Lord. Correct us where we need it. As we attempt to speak about Your love the next few Sundays, I pray that You will speak to each and every heart here, including myself. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I realize there was a lot. 10 verses isn't a lot, but there sound like a lot in this epistle, but there's a reason for it, and there's a reason John worded it as he did. In this epistle, he was refuting some heresy that was coming into the early church. Gnosticism is believed to be one of them. It was in its early stages. I'm not going to go into great lengths about what the Gnostics teach. They still exist today. You can go on their websites and find out the teaching of the Gnostic church. But at that time, they taught that since all matter was evil, Jesus, if He was God, could not have been here in a physical body, because God would not step into a physical body. Therefore, Jesus was a spiritual apparition. He just looked real, but He wasn't. They said Jesus did not die on the cross for our sins, because the only sins that we have to be forgiven of is our own ignorance of our own deity. So the Gnostics believe that we are gods, and that their secret wisdom, which the Greek word gnosis means to know, that's where this came from. Their word was a secret wisdom that could be taught for a price, but only a select few would receive it or could receive it. They practiced a lot of harsh treatment of the body, since the body was evil, and such things as that. And it's believed by many that this is some of the teaching that John's refuting. So he starts out talking against these heresies, but he does it in a very polite manner, very a matter-of-fact manner. As I said, John was an eyewitness. to Jesus Christ. He served as his apostle for 3 years. He saw him die on the cross. He saw him raised again. He sat and listened to his teaching for 3 years, and now John's an old man. He's near the end of his life, and he wants to write to the churches. This epistle is called a general epistle because it's not addressed to any one church. So it's believed that it was written and passed around to the churches. He wants to share with the churches the truth that he knew about who Jesus was and who he is, and to talk about the love that God shows for us and we're to show for him. So he begins this epistle by refuting the false doctrine that was going on at that time. He began by saying that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. Now, John very purposefully says that which was from the beginning. Because the Gnostics say, and others said, you know, Jesus is created. He's not God. He is a created being. Some teach he was an angel, an archangel who came down to fulfill God's plan of redemption. But the Bible says that it was not angels that God sent to save. It was people. And since God was going to redeem people, he sent his son, God the Word, in the form of human flesh as a person. John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. So see, in this letter, John is refuting this false teaching. Some then and now teach that Jesus is one of many gods. As the Gnostics, we're all gods. There's other cults, I call them. They call themselves Christians. They teach that we are gods. I've even heard some evangelical ministers on television say, we're gods. Since we're descended from God, since we're made in the image of God, we're gods. Well, I have a problem with that, because God said to the prophet Isaiah and to Israel, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God." And then he says at the end of this passage, he said, "And you are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? There is no rock. I know not any." No, not any. So God said to the Jews, they were worshiping all these gods and idols. He said, "There is no other God but me." And if you've ever read the book of Revelation, I believe it's Revelation 1:17, when Jesus introduces himself to John, the glorified Jesus, he said, "I am the first and I am the last." You can't have two first and last. So my point is, the Bible says there's only one God, and that's what I choose to believe. Okay? I don't care what all these other, Lord help me, teachers say. I've heard a lot of teaching over the years. I've heard, and to me it's heresy and blasphemy. It's been said that if you do not stand for something, you will fall for anything. I, like Joshua, I choose to make my stand on the Word of God. There's one God, there's one Savior, Jesus Christ. And see, the Gnostics were trying to teach, you don't need to be saved. Now, I'm using them because they believe that's one of the heresies that were in the forefront of the early church. But there's other, if you care to read on Christian cults or cults in general, they will tell you, well, Jesus died for your sins, but you have to join us. You have to keep our rules. You have to be baptized into our church. Then you'll be saved. There's some churches that say, well, you have to keep the Jewish law. The Passover celebration, the new moons, the Sabbaths, then you can be saved. And what I hear in that is, you got to be a Jew to be saved. Well, Paul said we're not under the law. Now, John's not dealing with the legalist part of the law here. He's dealing with flat-out heresy. And if you ever wonder that, how come he started as epistle that, what we have seen and we have touched. Because they were saying, well, Jesus was just a spirit. He looked like a man, but he wasn't a man. And what John say? We touched him. We saw him. and we touched him. You remember when Jesus was raised from the dead in Luke's account of the gospel, he said he had appeared to two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus. That road was about from Jerusalem to Emmaus was 7 miles. So they were walking to Emmaus. Jesus appeared. They didn't know who he was until he went to eat with them. And it said when he blessed the food, their eyes were open and they saw him, who it was. And all of a sudden he was gone. Well, Luke said while they were talking about this, these guys walked 7 miles back, told the other disciples, "We saw the Lord, he is alive." It said Jesus stood amongst them. Now, I've even heard Christians say, "Well, yeah, because he walked through a wall." No, the Bible doesn't say he walked through a wall. It just said he was there. We assume he walked through a wall. And there's churches today teach that Jesus was not physically raised because he walked through a wall and stood in there with his men. So he must have been a spirit. What John say? We touched him. Luke goes on to say that they were full of joy and unbelief. And they were afraid because they thought they saw a spirit. And what Jesus say? "Touch me. Look at the nail prints. Look at my feet. Look at my side. Touch me." He said, "A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like I have." So what I'm saying is that settles it for me that Jesus Christ was physically raised from the dead. That he died on a cross for our sins and he was raised from the dead. I don't care what other churches say. I don't care what other teachers say. I don't care what all the other books say. This Bible is the only book that I need. John Wesley said, "Oh, give me that book." Now, I've got commentaries, I've got some books on theology, and I get less and less use for them the farther I go in ministry. Not because I think they don't know, but because they insert dogma and doctrine into the commentaries, into the teaching that they do that is not scriptural. I call it dogma because dogma comes out of doctrine. The Bible's a book of doctrine. Dogma is what I make out of that doctrine. And I have read these commentators for years, and they'll say, "Well, now the Greek says," and they'll tell you literally what the language says. Then they'll say, "But we believe." Get ready. We believe. Hey, my opinion and a buck and a half will get me a cup of coffee. That's how important my opinion is. The Bible is the Word of God. John said, "We told you the truth. This is the truth, and there is no lie in the truth. We told you the truth." Jesus, when he appeared to his men, he said, "Touch me, feel me, I'm not a spirit." So that settles it for me, and it settled it for them. It said they were still doubting. And then Jesus said, "Well, do you got anything to eat?" And they gave him some broiled fish, and he ate it. Then they went, "Oh, he's alive." Now remember, this is an eyewitness account to the church. They have believed the preaching they heard, but Satan wastes no time in introducing false teachers into the church. He did it then, he does it today, he'll do it until the Lord returns. People come up and say, "I have this new revelation." How many times do you hear that? I've heard it a lot. "I was eating pizza the other night and God gave me a dream. And I got this new revelation." That's how silly it sounds to me. I might be sounding facetious, but that's how silly it sounds to me. "Or an angel told me. An angel appeared and told me." What'd Paul say? If we or an angel gives you any other gospel than the one here, let them be cursed. So I don't care how fine sounding the arguments are. Paul said, don't get taken in by the philosophies of men. He said, these men are unspiritual, they are puffed up with conceit, and they are trying to make disciples for themselves. What am I saying? Know the Word. Man, we got this book in so many different translations. You can still buy it legally in this country. You can download it and put it on your tablets, your computer, any translation you want to look at. There is no reason today's Christian cannot be a student of the Bible. You don't have to go to the cemetery and get that master's degree and try to learn biblical languages. Yeah, I know it's called seminary, but I call it the cemetery because a lot of guys I've talked to, that's where they act like they've been. Any Christian can be a student of this word if you choose to be. Well, I don't have a computer. Well, buy some Strong's Concordance of the Greek and the Hebrew. That tells you what every word in the Bible means. Well, Andy Griffith comes on at 7, and I got to watch Andy Griffith. Well, what time do you read the word? Well, when I get time. Make time. Do you know why this word exists? Because God wanted us to have something that we could go to, that we could read. And if you believe it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, there's no confusion in that, church. It doesn't matter what other people say. When somebody brings you a revelation that goes against the scripture, if you know the scripture, you can pick it up that quick. Go, wait a minute. That's not what the scriptures say. And better yet, if you know the author of the book, if the Spirit of Christ dwells within you, He'll tell you, mm-mm, that's not me. Now, John is dealing with heresy coming into the church in this first chapter. That's why the chapter is written in the form it is. So what's he saying to this church? You're in darkness. If you're listening to this teaching, you are in the dark. And he said, if you say that you're in the light, but you're in the dark, you're a liar. I didn't say that. John did, so don't glare at me. Now, that's harsh to us today. That's a harsh statement, but it's a true statement. What's the opposite of truth? Lie. So John said, if I say I'm walking in the truth, but I'm actually walking in the dark, I'm a liar. Does it mean I'm unsalvageable? No. Does it mean that God doesn't care? No. But you have to make a decision. Is this the word of God or is it not? If it's not, don't pay any attention to it. I'm convinced it's his word, every word. I'm convinced it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I have no time for dogma, doctrine, or denominational debates. I attempt to preach the word to you, to bring the word to you, because that's what matters, is the word of God. I've read a lot of stuff over the years. I was required to when I was going to Bible college, but I've always had an interest in reading. I sit down and read things. I'm going to tell you what, church, there's a lot of heresy being preached today on television, in churches, on the streets, a lot of books being written. I'm surprised when I go to CPO, when I got time, I like going there and look around. I'm surprised at the cultic literature that they sell there. One guy said, well, that's a Christian bookstore. A bookstore can't be Christian. Only people can be Christians. And the fact that they offer non-Christian, non-biblical resources and materials tells me that's not a Christian store. Now, I'm not saying the people working there aren't Christians or aren't believers, but we have become so acceptable and tolerant in these years in the church, we just say, well, they just believe a little different. What's the harm? The Gnostics denied the deity of Jesus Christ. Some of the heresy coming up in the church did exactly that. There was a guy named Arius who said Jesus was an angel. There's a church right down the road teaches that. He was booted out of the church in the second century. Them elders got him by the scruff of the neck and by the belt and pitched him out the door and said, you're not teaching that here. But today we're so worried about being tolerant. We don't want to be intolerant or bigoted. Who cares what the world thinks? What'd Jesus say? If they hated you, they hated me first. Deal with it, church. They're going to hate you. I was talking to a lady several years ago. She wanted to talk about the Bible. We was talking about the Bible. We was talking about what the Bible said. And she finally got frustrated. And she looked at me and said, you're awful narrow-minded. I said, I can afford to be. I'm right. Now, do I say that because I think that I've got it all figured out? No, because the Word's right. That's where I put my trust, in the Word of God. If the Word of God says it, it's the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, I don't have to analyze it. I don't have to philosophize it. All I have to do is accept it as the Word of God. And there goes the confusion. That's what the church needs to do today, church. Well, they'll call us intolerant. Let them call us intolerant. That's one of the nicest things I've been called since I've been in ministry, because I've been called a few things by a lot of different people that I won't mention in mixed company. I don't care. Let that roll off you like water off a duck's back. Call me intolerant, call me a bigot. And I'll meet you at the judgment seat. And we'll let God sort this out. My wife was asking me a while back, these false teachers. I like to read on the cults and talk to her about, and she was asking me, what's going to happen to these men? I said, Jude said the blackest mist of darkness is reserved for them forever, and they will answer for every false convert they made. They will stand there with that blood on them. Yeah. The Gnostics say there is no sin but the sin of ignorance. What John say? If we say we have no sin, we're a liar. And the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. John called Jesus the word of life. He said, Jesus manifested God to us, and we have manifested God to you through Jesus Christ. He is the word of life. Do you believe what Jesus said in John 14? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That was one of the statements I talked to that lady about. She said, you're awful narrow-minded. I believe all paths lead to God. Well, you can believe in the Easter Bunny. That doesn't make it so. That's the way I feel about that. There's one path to God, and that's Jesus Christ, the person Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the Jews, unless you believe I am the one I claim to be, you will die in your sins. There's going to be a lot of shocked people on the day of judgment that's attended different churches, listened to different dogma, different doctrine. And Jesus said, they will say to me, but Lord, but I did all these things in your name. And he'll say, I never knew you. Church, that's the stand we have to take today. I like what Joshua said to the Jews before he died. He said, if serving God's too hard for you, then pick one of the Canaanite gods. There's plenty of them. You serve them if that's what you want to do. But he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's the attitude we got to have in the church today. Does it mean we have to be mean and harsh? No, but we have to be firm in our stand. There is no truth but the Word of God. I'm not saying that there haven't been books written that people have written that aren't helpful, that help with this, with studying this book, but there's a lot of them that aren't. I've had people over the years, and I've done it, they'll get online to research stuff, and they'll say, you know, brother, I read this online the other day. Don't believe everything you read online. That's like believing everything you see on the news. Oh, the media said it, so it must be true. Our media is state-owned. They don't report the news, they read a script. Okay? Very few news media report the truth now or try to report the fact. Same way with a lot of what you get online. Very much of it is not factual. It's not historical. It's not factual, and it's not scriptural. You have to learn to be discerning. How do I do that? You study the Word of God, the Spirit of God within you. John said he'll teach you the truth. You know, Jesus said to the Father in his prayer in John 17, I have revealed you to those whom you have given me. And then he prays for the people that's going to believe on him through their preaching. That's you and me. And what Jesus say? I'll continue to reveal myself. I'll continue to reveal you. That's through the Holy Spirit. John isn't hammering the church. John is warning the church. He's saying, look, church, there's darkness coming in. Paul warned the elders of the church at Ephesus. He said, I want to warn you, number one, you'll never see my face again. He was going to Rome to stand trial. His first trial, he got released. The second one under Nero, he lost his head. But he said, I know you'll never see my face, but he said, I want to warn you, there's going to be false doctrine come in, and some of it will come in out of your own members. fierce wolves will arise up from your own numbers and teach heresy. That's the elder's job in the church. We're not supposed to be money counters. We're not supposed to be overseers of every program in the church. Our specific job in the church is to make sure that the Word of God is being taught and taught in the truth and not allow false doctrine. That's an elder's job. But each and every one of you are responsible for the truth that you know and receive. Jesus said, be careful what you hear, because unto whom I give much, I will require much. That's why I didn't want to be a preacher. Mm-mm. I don't want that responsibility. Guess what? God said, I don't care what you want. This is what I want you to do. Am I elevating myself? No, I don't want to be elevated. I'm a man. I'm a man just like any man in here. Don't put me on a pedestal. When I bring you a message or a lesson, go home and read the text yourself and find out if I'm telling you the truth. We need to run from the false teaching like we would from a cottonmouth snake. Now, I like to fish, and I've been fishing on rivers and creeks most of my life, and I've had my run-ins with old sneaky snake. And we need to be just as attentive when it comes to doctrine and the word and what's being taught as we do when we're out there wading around that creek. I've gave up many a good fishing hole when a cottonmouth gets in the water with me to say, all right, you can fish here. I'll go down the river and fish. I'm not going to stand there and argue with him. As I said, John, this whole epistle, John is going to deal with love, the love God has for us, the love we're to have for each other. But sometimes that love entails things we don't think much about today. We think of love as an affectionate, gooey emotion. Never says anything crossways, never rebukes, never warns anyone. Just let everyone live and let live. Let people go on. Whatever they believe is fine. We're all heading for the same place. We're going to find in this epistle, John goes, no. No, we're not. That's what he said in this first chapter. And to me, it's very strong language. Now, he's not standing there with a stick thumping on him. He is speaking the truth to them. And he's doing it in a way, he's warning them. He's saying, you guys are letting false doctrine and darkness into the church. And if you follow this, you are a liar. You're not of God. Now, next week, we're going to be in chapter 2, and he talks about forgiveness of sins. But he ends that in this first chapter. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not Al's unrighteousness, that's only half of it, all. So what's John saying? To some of the people in this church, he said, you're sinning. You're sinning. But if you'll confess those sins, God can forgive you. I'm so glad God's a forgiving God. If I confess. I've said this, and I'll say it till the day the Lord puts me in the ground. You can't be saved until you realize you need to be saved. You have to know that you are a sinner, that you have offended God, that you've broken his holy law to receive and accept that offer of forgiveness that he gives you. And as a child of God, we still have to go to him and say, Father, forgive me because I've sinned. Isn't that good news? God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we confess them. Not a general confession, specific. In this instance, God, we were believing a lie. Please forgive us. God, we wandered away from the truth that we were taught. Please forgive us. What John say? He'll forgive you and cleanse you. But see, all that hangs on whether you really want to know the truth or you want to just slide by. Would you stand with me this morning? Some of this love that John talks about may not sound very lovely by today's standards, but I think it's very necessary. I'm so glad you guys could get here today. I hope you can come back next week, and we're going to pick back up on this. We'll be in 1 John chapter 2. Go home and read it this week.